What's up, you guys? Welcome to Midweek. It's good to be together. It's great to see you all. So tonight's going to be special. It's the last Midweek of our Summer to Remember series. And so we're going to take some time to close that out together, which I'm excited about. And so what I'm going to do right now is basically just go through the announcements that there are and exciting things going on. And then we'll look at a few scriptures together. And then I would love to have some of you, like I texted out today, some of you come up and share different convictions and insights and scriptures from this summer of things that you really want to remember. You know, something from a lesson or a study you did or just something pertaining to this summer and something you learned or a conviction that you gained that you want to make sure you really hold on to. And you know, for this Remember series, we've been going through the first principle studies. We've been looking at the Word, discipleship, sin, cross, repentance, baptism, church, sound doctrine, the Jesus study, the timeline study. We've looked at all of those this summer to kind of remember that foundation that we have as Christians. And so what you could do when you come up even is pick maybe a scripture from one of those that, you know, really helped you this summer to remember that passage and to remember that idea from when you studied the Bible or whatever. Does that make sense? So we'll get to that in a little bit, but just some things off the top. First of all, it is very, very exciting to have Evian White back with us in the house. Evian has been up in Canada for, what, like 8 months or? Has it been 8 months? That was like an educated guess, and it was good. Yeah, so Evian's been up helping the church in Canada for the last 8 months in Montreal and is back with us now, so it is very good to have you back, Evian. He's here for the whole school year now, so we've got him back. It's exciting. Also, this past Sunday, Leanne from Stevens was baptized. She's on vacation with her family who's here from China for the next 2 weeks. So they're going up to Massachusetts and all different places. So that's where she's at. Stay in touch with her and then she'll be here with us. And so cool. She was reached out to by Patricia last school year at Stevens. She studied the Bible and then she went back home to China for the summer where she continued to seek God. And in that time from September till the end of the summer, she actually read the whole Bible. And so she came back from China for school. Just a few weeks ago and texted Shauna and them and said, I'm ready to become a disciple. When can we get together so I could get baptized this weekend? And so Chelsea and some of the sisters, Abby and Jessica and some of the sisters, Caroline, got with her for a while on Saturday, Sunday morning, and then she got baptized Sunday. She was really eager and it was really exciting to see that happen. So that's exciting. And then just some upcoming stuff. This Friday, we're going to be playing kickball and just hanging out at Anderson Park over here. So we'll get an organized game of kickball together for whoever wants to play, and then we'll just be hanging out. The Manhattan Campus Ministry will be joining us, so it'll be cool to have them with us. And then just looking ahead, two big things coming up. One is our hike. Every year we do this hike together, whoever wants to. It's a challenging hike. But next Friday, August 24th, we're going to be hiking Mount Tammany, which is out by the Delaware Water Gap. And so for whoever wants to do that hike, which is challenging, we're going to meet at 2 o'clock nearby and meet up there and then drive over and do the hike. So if you want to do the hike, plan on being free from like 1 o'clock on because you'll need to leave by about 1 o'clock because it's about 50 minutes away, or give or take 10 minutes depending on where you're from. So next Friday, we're going to do this hike. After the hike, we'll all be together at a family in the church's house, the Louises, who are going to host us for a barbecue and pool party. So that'll be awesome next Friday. And then the next Wednesday after that, August 29th, so it's two Wednesdays from now, August 29th will be midweek here. And we're going to really try to gear up for the fall and kick off the fall that midweek. And so what we're going to do is we're going to fast together for the fall and for seeing God do great things through us. We're going to fast from 6 o'clock on Tuesday till 6 o'clock Wednesday. And then what we want people to do is bring a dish with you or something with you to midweek, and we'll meet at 6 o'clock instead of 7:30 for midweek right in here, and we'll all break our fast together. We'll have a big dinner together, and then we'll have midweek at 7:30, which will be unrolling our theme for the fall, the plans for the fall, have our first lesson from that. and then have some time of prayer and just vision casting for the fall semester together. So August 29th, definitely want everyone here, and we'll send out more info and stuff, but we'll do a fast together for the fall and then break that together. That sounds exciting, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So that's going to be great. Last thing I want to announce or whatever is it's just been really exciting to see God moving. And so, you know, Charles has officially just moved on from us now and in with the Bronx Campus Ministry. And so he was at midweek with them, and that's exciting. And as mentioned last week, you know, David is heading up to Syracuse. Where's David at? There he is. David's heading up to Syracuse, and this is his last midweek with us before he'll be going up there. So David's going to be helping lead the Syracuse Campus Ministry for this fall semester. And so we're so excited for that and for you. And so I want to just have David come up, and just so we could pray for him together.
Yeah.
And so why don't you just come up here, David, and we'll just pray for you. And I just want to encourage you guys, stay in touch with David and be praying for him. Try to pray for him every week and to be in touch with him. And it's so exciting that he's going up to serve full-time to go lead the Syracuse Campus Ministry for this fall. So he's moving up next Wednesday. So let's pray for him as this is his last midweek with us. There's also a card going around you could write to him in, and make sure you leave with that. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for who you are and for what you're doing through our campus ministry here. God, thank you for every disciple in this room has decided to follow you and to be in your ministry here and to serve you and to bring the message of reconciliation to the Lost College students of North Jersey. God, thank you that through our ministry, David was reached out to, studied the Bible, and was baptized and became our brother in Christ a few years ago. And God, thank you for all the mighty ways that you've used him over these last few years. God, you've used him to serve so many people, to encourage others, to pray for others. God, he's given so many rides to so many people in here. God, he has sat in so many Bible studies. He's led Bible studies. He's led Bible talks. He's shared his faith with hundreds of people. God, he has gotten in the water and helped to baptize many other men in this room, God. God, we're so grateful for the powerful ways that you've used him. God, we pray that as David steps forward in faith into this next stage of his discipleship, of going to Syracuse and working with the Smiths and the group of 30 or so disciples up there, God, that you will use him in a powerful way on the Syracuse University campus. God, we pray for their kickoff week, that he'll be bold and faithful and courageous and share his faith with hundreds of people. God, that you'll lead him to open souls. God, that you'll lead him to people who right now are going through things that are going to make them want to seek you. God, we pray that from afar we'll get to pray for David, to encourage him, and to watch as you use him in a powerful way, God. We look forward to seeing what you do through him. God, we know it will be nothing short of miraculous because that's who you are, and we know that you're going to walk with him, God. Lord, we pray that every one of us would step up and fulfill the calling that you have for us, God, whether it's in Syracuse or whether it's on our own campus here, God, at William Patterson or at Rutgers or at NJIT or at Passaic County College or Montclair, wherever it is, God, that you have us, that we'll realize we're in the full-time ministry to save your lost children at that place. God, thank you for David's example to show us how to serve you and to live for you. And God, we just thank you for him and what you're going to do through him. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
God, let's give it up for David. Woo! Very exciting. Make sure you write in the card for him. And David, we're so pumped to see God use you, man. This is going to be very exciting. You know, I want to just talk for a few minutes before we have some people share about the idea of remembering. You know, I think the word remember is so important. You know, hundreds of times in the Bible, it says to remember and to remember different things. And we need to remember. Could you just imagine if you lost your memory? Just how a day would go for you if you lost your memory. You know, first of all, it's depressing to think about, although there's obviously things we all wish we could forget. But it would be sad. It would be sad to not remember things anymore, to not remember your name or to not remember the people in your life who have helped you and cared about you and done things for you. You know, it would be really upsetting if you showed up for an exam and could not remember anything that was on it, even though you had studied for it. And maybe you felt that before. But, you know, this idea of remembering is actually really, really important. And God puts it out there as really important that we remember. And when you look at the Bible, remembering and forgetting could be the difference of you making it to heaven or not. Of you living powerfully for God or not. You know, you being able to really remember who you were and who you are now. For you really being able to remember who God is and the fact that he's with you. You remembering that you were in sin and that Jesus died for you and you've now been forgiven. You remembering to deny yourself. Remembering what the Bible said when you read it yesterday so you know what to do today. You know, remembering the encouragement that someone gave you. Remembering other people's example that can inspire you. Remembering the things that God has done through you before. We need to remember if we're going to be our best and if we're going to stay faithful. If we forget, we're going to lose our way. You know, all throughout the Bible, God calls his people to remember. If you go through the early books of the Bible, like Exodus and Deuteronomy, so many times God commands his people to remember. He says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt. And remember how I brought you out with a mighty hand. And remember how I took care of you for 40 years in the desert. Remember how when you were hungry, I rained down quail for you. Remember how when you were thirsty, I got water out of a rock. Remember the laws that I gave you. Remember, right? So many times God says to remember these things. And it's when they started to forget that they would start to worship other gods, or that they would stop obeying God and obeying his decrees and laws, when they started to forget that he was their God and what he had done for them, and the fact that they used to be slaves in Egypt and that God had brought them out of that. And that's also obviously very foreshadowing of us being in slavery to sin and needing to remember that God has brought us out of captivity to that. You know, and then all throughout the Psalms and different books of the Old Testament, we're called to remember the mighty deeds of God and the wonders that he's done and the things he's performed. And, you know, as we even read the Old and the New Testament, as we read the Bible, that we see in there these amazing things that God did, and that we remember that he did those things to help us have faith, to have victories today and to overcome obstacles today. You know, we've got to remember the things that God has done in our past, the works of his hands. And then Jesus, you know, when he's sitting with the disciples the night before he's going to be arrested and having this Last Supper with them, and he says, hey, take this cup and take the bread and do this in remembrance of me. Right. And just that we take communion every week is an act of remembrance. We got to remember, we got to take time to remember Jesus's body and his blood shed for us, broken for us. And just Jesus calls us to remember. And then if you read through the rest of the Bible, there's so many things we're supposed to remember. To remember each other, to remember to pray for each other, to remember the example of other great men and women of faith who've gone before us. And there's so many things that we need to remember. And so this summer, we wanted to take some time to remember our foundation, to remember the core of our discipleship, to remember the elementary teachings and first principles. You know, to become a disciple, we sit down and we study out really what the Bible would call elementary teachings. Faith in God, the Word of God, sin and repentance and baptism and how to be saved and sound doctrine and some of these fundamental elementary things. And so, you know, I know a lot of us aren't that old spiritually. You know, I'm probably up there comparatively at 8.5 years. Chelsea's, what are you going to be, like 12 or something like that?
Yeah.
In January? You guys have been Christians for 20-something years? But for a lot of you, you're pretty young spiritually, and I'm sure you could already realize that you could start to forget some of those things. And so we have to be intentional about remembering. Remembering what we decided when we did the word study, that this is going to be our standard, and this is going to come before emotions or traditions or anything else. We've got to remember the discipleship study, and that our calling is to follow Jesus and to go make disciples, and that we need to deny ourselves daily. We need to remember our sin. Right? And remember our sinful nature and the things that we confess to make sure they don't come back in our life. These elementary things are so important to remember if we're going to keep growing and remain faithful as Christians. It's probably why in the book of Revelation, when people were straying, they were told, remember what you did at first. It's because those elementary convictions are what we always need to go back to if we want to do our best for God. And so I just want to read a few scriptures with you, and then we'll have some time of sharing that I think show the importance of remembering and give us some insight into how to do that and what we should remember. But first, let's look at James chapter 1. We looked at this the first midweek we had. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Cool. James chapter 1. Let's start in verse 21. It says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. You know, it talks here about how the word of God was planted in us. When you study the Bible, these elementary teachings, these first principles, these core practices and convictions, they were planted in you. And we want to keep watering that and going back to that seed that was there and humbly accept the word. You know, I think it was easy to humbly accept the word when we knew we were lost, right? But even now as we're saved, or as you've heard these verses a dozen times, or as you've, you know, been a Christian for 3, 5, 10 years, you want to stay humble to the word of God, right? So that you can stay saved, just like when you became saved, you want to humbly accept the word. In verse 22, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." And so there's some great stuff in here. It says if you want to be blessed in what you do, you got to make sure, first of all, you don't merely just listen to the Bible, but you practice it. And so all of the things that we've studied out, and as you even have your own daily quiet times and that you get in the word with yourself and with each other, that we don't just read the Bible to learn, but to practice, right? So we listen, but then we do what it says. But also there's an element here of self-reflection. Like when you look in a mirror and you go, okay, how does my hair look? Any new pimples? What's going on with my teeth? You know, and you're checking out what's going on. So you look in the mirror and then you get things checked out, right? And then you got to remember what you look like. And so when you look at the Bible, there's got to be that element of self-reflection. How am I doing with this? How could I live this way for God? How can I put this into practice? What does this mean for me? Right? And so we got to keep doing that with the scriptures, is looking at the Bible, looking at ourselves, and then not forgetting. Right? You might sit down and have a great quiet time and then go get distracted with your day and forget what you read that morning. And so we got to be deliberate about remembering. Obviously, what can help us to do that is when we read the Bible, we read it intently. There's a lot of intention there and focus and purpose and, okay, let me really drill in here on what this is saying. And then it calls it the perfect law that gives freedom. That should inspire us to want to read it. But then it says, continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. He will be blessed in what he does. I just think that idea there of continuing to do this. You know, these first principles and these elementary teachings about the word and discipleship and repentance and these things that were planted in us from the word of God, we've got to make sure that those are things that we continue to study out, continue to remember, continue to write on our hearts and minds so that we could be blessed in what we do. You know, there's another passage in Hebrews, if you could flip back there a few pages, Hebrews chapter 5. This talks about, this gives us a picture that under the umbrella of Christians, there's mature and then there's immature Christians. And we all start out immature, right? Babies. And we're supposed to mature in the faith. And part of maturing in the faith is you really knowing and being able to not just to know for yourself, but even to teach others the elementary teachings of the Bible. And so if you want to mature in the faith, it's inherent that you really learn it for yourself, but also to the point where you could sit down and even teach other people elementary teachings of the Bible. And here's what's cool is the more you sit down for yourself, but then also sit down to help teach others the Bible, the more it helps you as well. You know, so much of studying the Bible with somebody is to help them, but also to help yourself. You know, as I keep sitting through word studies and repentance and sin, and I am aiming to stay humble, it's just a constant reminder for myself to remember where I used to be and where I am at and what I need to do for God. And so that helps so much. Listen to what the author Hebrews says here, Hebrews 5 verse 11. It says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that leads to death, of faith in God, instruction about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. So Paul's saying here, look, there's immature and then there's maturity. And we want you guys to go on to maturity. God wants you to become a mature Christian. A mature Christian is someone who is acquainted with teachings about righteousness. You're really clear and deliberate on this is righteous, this is not. You know that you're able to distinguish good from evil. As you become more mature as a Christian, you start to learn more and more of the Bible, and you can more discern in situations, I should do this, I shouldn't do this. You know, I should be in this situation, I shouldn't be in this situation. You start to distinguish good from evil. And it says the way we get to maturity is, first of all, by really knowing and laying that foundation of the elementary teachings. And so our first principles is really the foundation, the elementary teachings. And a lot of it is derived from what's listed here. Repentance and really understanding light and dark and eternal judgment, right? And where that all stands. And baptism and faith in God, which and also obviously involves believing the word of God, and which obviously involves practicing the word of God. And so, you know, just these foundational things, I just want to encourage you to, we did this summer series, but to really take seriously the call to mature. And that part of the call to mature is to really know the elementary teachings. That you could sit down and you could teach somebody from the Bible, here's what the word of God is. Here's what a disciple is. Here's how judgment goes. Here's sin, here's light and dark. Here's how you get saved from that. Repentance, baptism, right? And proper instructions on those things and so forth. And that you really learn for yourself, but also for others, how to teach those things, because that's what God is calling us to in this passage. You know, the way that we get there, it says, is through constant use have trained themselves. You know, so you've got to constantly use the Bible. The more frequently you're in the Bible for yourself, but also sitting down teaching others the Bible, sitting in studies, leading studies, constant use, you're training yourself. And by doing that, you're maturing in the faith yourself. And so really getting to know these things well is going to help you become a mature Christian. You really can't be biblically a mature Christian without really knowing and being able to teach these things. That's part of what defines a mature Christian in this passage. You know, the last scripture I want to look at is in 2 Peter. You guys doing good?
Yeah.
Cool. Just go over to 2 Peter and then we'll have some people come up and share for a few minutes. 2 Peter chapter 1. He talks here in verse 5 about how we should always be growing as Christians, right? That we never want to stop growing, and that we want to live lives that are effective and productive for God. That we're growing in our faith, we're growing in our love, and that as we're living as a Christian, we're effective, we're productive, we're bearing fruit for God in our lives. And then it says at the end of this what it takes to make sure that you're always growing and being effective and productive. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. And to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so it's saying, if you want to be effective and productive, then you've got to keep growing in your faith and adding these things to your faith. But then he says, after what we just read, what it takes to make sure that you keep growing. Verse 9, it says, if anyone does not have them, talking about those qualities in increasing measure, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. And so Paul's even acknowledging here, look, I know you guys know this stuff really well, but it's so important, so you got to just keep your memory fresh on this. You know, and so that's why we just don't want to sit here with the, I know this stuff, but no, we got to keep our memory fresh with this. Because what it says is if we become nearsighted and blind and forget these things, then it says we're going to end up not growing, and we're going to end up, instead of growing, falling away from God. And what it says here is really helpful. You know, if you really want to know, what could I do to make sure I never fall away? What could I do to make sure I never stop following Jesus and that I stay in the light for the rest of my life? It says, if you do these things, you will never fall. If you do what things? Well, what we just read in the paragraph before it. If you make sure you don't forget Jesus and that you've been cleansed from your past sins. And then because you're remembering that, you continue to grow and to be effective and productive in your faith. So if you remember, then you'll grow and then you'll be effective and productive in your faith. If you forget, then you'll start to drift from God instead. And so the secret to never falling away is to never forget. If you want to always stay faithful, you need to always remember. Remember Jesus. Remember your sin. Remember the cross. Remember what he did for you. Remember the decision you made. Remember that you made the word your standard. Remember you decided to follow Jesus. Remember that you were in the dark and that when you were baptized, you were united with Jesus. And remember that you're now in the light, forgiven and walking with God, following Jesus. Remember that you were given the Holy Spirit. You know, remember that God has heaven waiting for you. And remember that you deserve death, but now Jesus has a home in heaven for you.
Yeah.
You know, if you could just remember, then you'll keep following. And you'll keep growing and you'll stay faithful. Remembering is the difference maker. We've got to remember. Remember our core faith. Remember our core convictions. Remember those first principles. And so I'd love to take maybe just 10 minutes and have a handful of you come up and share. Here's something from our first principle, something from these foundations, these elementary teachings from the Word, from sin, from cross, somewhere in there that really hit you this summer or when you study the Bible that you want to say, hey, I really want to remember this. And you could share for a minute or so just the scripture and what the conviction from that basically is. But can you raise your hand if you're down to come up and do that? One, two, three. Could we get two or three more people maybe? Four, five. Great. Can you guys come line up and then you guys could share for a minute or so each? Why don't you go first, man? You want to share first?
I don't know.
What? You got
if
it.
I don't have any problem.
You guys know Julio, right? All right, cool.
Julio, hola, hola. okay, I hope you understand what I say.
So far, so good.
Yes, but this summer I have to remember to the important to know to don't be in comfort, you know, to be like Jesus, like the scripture in Lucas. I don't know, is Lucas in English?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, in Lucas chapter 9. Where, okay, Luke chapter 9, 58. Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nets, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." I remember that scripture for the disciples. I don't know the name in English. Discipleship, I don't know.
You got it.
Okay. But I remember that Jesus doesn't have a place to lean his head. You remember? Jesus wasn't comfort. I came here this summer. I was in Dominican Republic, so I have to come here. In Dominican Republic, I was sharing my faith every day, you know, in university, studying the Bible with people every day, and doing those things. But when I came here, it was a little bit different, a lot of different, because I'm working all day. So when I finish working, I just want to go home and sleep or rest or doing, you know, don't go out. So I had to remember, okay, I have to be like Jesus, like I don't have to be a comfort in my place. I have to go out and share my faith and do what I have to do and be a disciple. So That is something I had to remember this summer, to be like Jesus in that way. Yep.
In Luke 14:27, it says, "And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." I had an epic summer, just between ICMC, Performing Arts Camp, Thrive, shooting two weddings, and one very dear to us, Miss Carla. Just being a servant and giving made for the best time. It was truly a summer to remember. And so it's a two-part thing. Carry your cross, decide, okay, I'm a dead man. I no longer live. I'm no longer enslaved by sin. I'm now free to be like Jesus. And so now I get to follow him. I get to do the things that he would do. And I get to do them with the talents that I have. And so those are my convictions.
I think this summer something that really stuck out to me was Matt's lesson about false doctrine. I think coming from a Baptist church, personally, I think I did hurt and feel for the people in my old church, like when I first got baptized, but I don't remember the kind of, honestly, lostness that they're in. And there's genuinely people in these churches who think that they're saved. And I think one of the scariest things is to believe that you're saved and you're not saved and actually trying to fight and try. And so I think for me, like knowing and remembering that false doctrine is like gangrene and that it's poison and that I need to hate it. Mm-hmm. And I really loved this scripture in 2 Timothy 4 where it says, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come from hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared with a hot iron. And even what Rob just said, like the things we teach in these Bible studies are elementary teachings. And people have churches where they don't even believe the elementary teachings. And so like, what are they building on? It's not even Jesus' church. So it's just even more scary and even more of a call for me to have compassion that burns too with the false doctrine. So, yeah.
Okay. So I'm here as the last of the orange shirt group, but yeah, thank Mark. But Luke 14, verse 31 is what I really got this summer. It says, "Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? I remember being in a discipleship study with someone, and it's just like, wait a second. I'm going to lose. Like, unless it's an action hero movie and those 20,000 are idiots, there's no way I can win. And so what I have to remember and really commit to is I have to surrender. I'm going to surrender either later on Judgment Day or now. And it's got to be a daily, like, okay, I'm surrendered. Yeah. Not like, okay, well, we've got peace for a while. Let me go out and do some more war. It's no, I have to remember all the time to surrender. And I can't win, so like, why even try to fight it? Yeah. So, that's it.
Don't do that. Okay, I might laugh a lot, so I'm sorry in advance. But I'm not gonna like quote a specific scripture, but you could write down Psalm 106 if you wanna go back to it, whatever. Basically, when Rob was talking about discipleship, I was like shook because he was talking about like the center of the wheel and how like Jesus and God and the cross needs to be like your center. And it reminded me of how when I was trying to learn how to ride a bike, and I tried to learn how to ride a bike in North Carolina, and there was like all these gnats. And if you know anything like about the gnats and humidity in North Carolina, it's like humidity, gnats, you're hot, I'm trying to learn how to ride a bike, I'm falling, I'm like getting scraped up. So I was just so distracted. And it like reminded me how I can in life and in my discipleship go so easily distracted and just be like, oh my gosh, this is happening. I have this to do, like I don't have that. And just how like it's so easy to forget when you're not like focused, and that there's a difference between like failure and forgetting, because you can like fall and scrape your knee, but like still get back up. But there's a difference of just being like, oh, I'm done, like because this is annoying. So like to not give up on myself when I get frustrated, but to get back up, like it's okay to have scratches and mistakes. So.
Come on. Awesome. Thank you guys for sharing. You know, I think it's good to think about is, you know, hey, from this summer, what do I really need to make sure I remember? But taking with us after this summer, this mindset of, hey, these foundational teachings, these first principles, I'm going to get to know these really well. I'm going to, by constant use and intently looking at it, I'm going to train myself. And then I'm also going to become mature to the point where I could also teach this to other people as well. You know, guys, summer's been awesome. It's not over yet. There's still some time to have fun, to do great things. We're going to have a blast on our hike and pool party next Friday. That's always amazing. And in a lot of ways, September still feels like summer because of the weather and our beach retreat and stuff too, which is going to be so much fun. But as far as the series goes, we're done with it. Next Wednesday is going to be an amazing worship night for midweek. And then the Wednesday after that, we'll be kicking off our fall theme, which I'm very, very excited about. But let's make sure we remember. Amen? There's lots of great stuff. Let's remember it and stand up and close out with one last song.